Well, we are still with the history of Naaman. You would see here on the service sheet, God does not tolerate pride. And so here we have an account of the healing of a man who has been described as a very great man. Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. So it was a powerful army. And so this king, he was a great man in the sight of his master. So highly trusted. I'm reading from verse 1. So highly trusted by his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. Even here, because this is the Bible, even this king, they have victories. Still, it was the Lord who allowed them to do something like that. So this man, he was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. And we know leprosy is a sign of sin, symbolizes sin in the Bible. So leprosy is a sign of sin. And we know this man, though great, he's a sinner. So he sinned. And here he is sick. And now what I want to communicate to us tonight is that his healing doesn't begin with him. So it's God who initiated even his healing, this man. You would ask, why? Or you may ask me first, let me say two whys. The first why. Why would God initiate his healing? That is what we see in verse 2. Because this little girl, who is a slave girl, is the one who brought his attention to the God of Israel, isn't it? And so here is a little girl, a slave, nobody. You see, as we heard last week, God using her to draw the attention of this great man to the fact that he can be healed, but only if he goes to Israel. And so what we see here, we see God really seeing this man is proud, isn't it? Because he's highly exalted. He is greatly valued because he's a commander, you see. And so he's great in many ways. And yet it's only a slave girl who would be a means by which he will be blessed. Just so God was bringing down his pride, isn't it? Yeah, you see, leprosy, a great man, and he's a leper. We know it's a disease that has no cure. A disease that has no cure is only God who can cure it. You see? And now God using this little girl who seemed to be like insignificant in the eyes of the world, and yet she has been greatly used to draw the attention of this man that there is no other God but the God of Israel. And so it's so clear to the all powers in this world, no matter how great you might be in this world, you see, as long as you are a sinner, you see, your greatness is zero, isn't it? And only you respond to the means that God will provide. And that is why today people would not want to respond to the gospel, because it's free. People don't want free things, isn't it? You don't have to do anything. People, they just hate this idea of receiving things for free, because that humiliate them, that show their weakness, they are something. And I think this creep also even into the Christian church today. That is why you see there is a lack of exercise of generosity and kindness and so forth at sometimes. But there are others who understand this clearly and give their heart to the Lord, and they act against what is in the world. So you pray that you might be in the minority, and God can do that. So this man who is great, and yet is only this girl who has brought his attention to, drew his attention to the fact that he could be healed. Now he started to gather all the things that he had. Naaman, so Naaman went to his master. You see, he went to his master because he is working with the king. His master is the king. He's the commander of the army. So chief of staff. And so he went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." It was that letter that triggered fear in the hearts of the king of Israel. And so when this letter reached him, he was so afraid. And the Bible says in verse 8, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Because he said, "Well, this man is just trying to cause troubles. I cannot heal anyone. Am I God? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." Because they had relative peace, you know. But here, when Elijah heard that the king of Israel torn his clothes, so he said to him, "Come to me. So why you torn your robes?" And then now we see how God was behind the scene, bringing this man to his knees and bringing him really to realization that there is God. And so Elijah said, "Send him to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." And so instead of dwelling on your greatness and all your resources and all these things, really that cannot help you. You come here, but you will have to come with a different attitude. You see? Because the attitude he had, that's what really caused him to be angry. He was angry because Elisha didn't come out, because that is what he said. He had his own expectation. That is what happens in the world. People have their own preconceived ideas that this is how the things can work. You see, and it's a very dangerous attitude, isn't it? Because you dictate to God that he can only work in these ways. And so when he came, because he was told that you are to go just and wash. He was told, so Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. So even the way he came, he stopped. The language shows also in his pride, he stopped. Because you will see later on, when his attitude changed, the word will come in different orders, isn't it? But what we see here, the man is still insisting on his ways. He's so great. And so when he came and he stood at the door of Elijah's house, you see, and then expecting that Elijah will come out. See? Elijah will come out. Well, look, I think there's something here we need to learn as Christians. I learned this and I'm still learning it. So you see, when we pray, sometimes we come and say, "Oh God, come to us. Oh God, come to us. Oh God, come to us." You see, and there are times where really, and most of the time, is we coming to God. We coming to God. I think this is very important. We have to come to God in humility. And as we come, he will come to us. Because we have come acknowledging our need. We have come acknowledging that he is God. He is glorious. He is holy. We are seeking him. Even as he works by his grace in our hearts to bring us into his presence. So Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." So you will be forgiven at the word of God. You will be cleansed as you respond to this, just an instruction from God. It's very simple. All that you need to do is to obey the voice of the Lord. That was what really was needed from him. And yet, we are told, Naaman didn't like that. He was angry, the Bible says. So he was angry at God because God didn't come to his level. How serious is that? Is God glorious? Is God holy? Is God faithful in his ways? Is he good in his all ways? Is he wise? How on earth a creature, a human being, would think that God can make mistake. And that is why he was angry, because God made a big mistake. You see, to just ask him to do something ridiculous like that. Yeah, he was angry. He thought he knew better, isn't it? Or if I ask you, why would someone be angry when God is righteous in his own ways? When God is good? When God himself is the one who has initiated even his healing, bringing to the mind of this little girl that speak to your mistress so that this great commander can be healed. Not only of his leprosy, but also of his sin, because he will have a change of attitude, isn't it? So I believe this is what the text is trying to bring out to us, because to be angry at God, well, you may say, we can have a holy anger against God, but this is not a holy anger. You see, this is not a holy anger. It's an anger of a frustrated human being who thought that he knew better. And because this is what he said, I thought, his thoughts, not God's thoughts. When God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. And so this man, he thought that this great man of God would surely come out to me, the self, to me, you see. And that is why he was not able even to bow. All that he did, he was like to stand in his pride before the man of God. When the man of God is communing with his God, that is why it's called the man of God, the man who hears from God, a man who displays the power of God. He performs miracles through the power of God, not his own power. And so Naaman thought that this man of God will come out to me. So this is to me in our days today is so dangerous. It's all about me. You see, about me, 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 me. And so all of us, we can face this. We can be tempted to think me, me first. But really we see this is not a godly attitude. It's not good. So he said, I thought he will come out to me and stand before me. You see, so this man must come and stand before me and acknowledge me, the great commander of the army. If you are in South Sudan, I heard this. You see, if I go now like this and I want to go to an office for something, they wouldn't let me go through all the protocols in this way. You see, if you go just like as a simple person, normal, you won't have any access. And then you may use your mind, you go home, and then you change, you put your tie and then jacket, and then you come back. Again, they say, oh, honorable. And so they open all the way for you, just like that. And so here, it's not about the heart that fears God. It's not about the heart that honors God. It's not about faith and trust in God. It's not about walking before God and ascribing to him all the glory, all the honor, duty, his great name. As you, as a worshiper who has received mercy to be saved and to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be protected day and night, because that is what it is for us, the blood of Jesus that protected the people of Israel on that night when they came out from Israel, from Egypt. The blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb that was pointing to the blood of Jesus, protected every home. That is what the Christians are. And so if this book is for us, and also is a reminder, even though the sinners would deliberately do these things, but maybe at time also ourselves, we might think, me, me. And actually we may say we have all the reason for God to treat us even well and good. You say, I thought. And so our thoughts are the things that are really hindering God's blessings, our thoughts. Not God's thought. You and I, if there is anything that will really jeopardize our blessings and everything that God wants to do with us or even through us, is me first. or my thoughts first, if they are not implemented, they are not open until we humble ourselves. So he said, I stand, and if I thought he will come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God. So Elisha and his God are at his service, this man. They come to me and they serve me both. This man calling this God and this God bringing power. And then not only that, then this man also, he will move his hands. He will wave his hands over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Cure me of my leprosy. God and Elijah and everything else at his service. We see it is wrong. It's wrong completely altogether. And when as human being, when we have this attitude, and I can tell you that, I can guarantee that we cannot go an inch, it will be very disastrous. That is what Isaac was speaking about this morning. Are we, like especially people of South Sudan, are we prepared to earn our decadence, our rebellious and sinfulness, and lack of courage to stand and be killed just for the sake of the truth? Or maybe we need more Isaac, more than Isaac. It's easy for us to pray for God of the harvest, to send harvest, as I said a few weeks ago here, and we don't say, here I am, Lord, send me. It's very dangerous, isn't it? It's very dangerous. I heard now through all the mission organization, they said it's very hard to raise up missionaries, very hard. Now I can understand why it's very hard. First, look at the world today. It's in turmoil, isn't it? So war. Can you go to Darfur to be a missionary in Darfur when 3,000 are massacred with no food, no hospitals? Can you go there? And so people in their right minds and right soul and all the mission organization, they cannot send you there. It will be a great liability, isn't it? Who will pay the insurance? Because we are just going into that. So this really makes things very difficult. Or can we go to Israel as missionaries? Can we go to Gaza? Can we go to Syria? Can we go to Iraq? Can we go to Upper Egypt, where the Muslim Brotherhood are massacring Christians every day? Or India, that we don't hear a lot with. Pakistan, Nigeria today, every day, they kill like nearly 1,000 Christians. And the media is not doing that. You can Google that. It's happening. So this man really is showing this attitude. And even he is despising even the water that they were going to cure him. He despised the water, even everything from God, he put it down. You see, everything from God, he's just putting it down. He's not valuing it. And so are not Abana and Fafar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Of course, there is no any better than the waters of Israel. Because the God of Israel is the God who is presiding with his own people. And everything in his hands will, in the hand of God, for his own people, will be better than anything else. Well, we see that in the word of God, that he sent them into a land that flows milk and honey, isn't it? So no better land that was pointing into the New Jerusalem eventually. So Naaman was just like giving to us clues of his heart and clues of the thinking that is devoid of God himself. And so now he was told that, could I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. So he continues, he was angry and rage. That is a higher level of anger. You see, rage, you see. So that is what happened. And then again, this man, you see, at the same time, you see, God is just really after him, humbling him, isn't it? Because now in verse 13, Naaman's servant went to him and said, see, again, it's a servant. You see, his servant here, the servant of this woman, you see, so just like that, being more wiser, you see, than the master himself. How about that? See the contrast between the wisdom that comes from heaven and the earthly wisdom. The earthly wisdom, we will get it through our experiences of how things are running, through our observations here and how the system works and how the world is being run. That is how far we can go. We go to universities, get degrees, and maybe that is all. But to have an insight into the things of God is something God himself has to give to people. And because these two servants, they were in the hand of God, using them as tools to humble this man and also to bring him blessing that he is fighting against. It is easy to fight against God's blessings. It's easy. I don't want. Because it's too hard. You see, when God is saying, this is how I'm going to bless you. You see, no cross, no glory. Isn't it? They say this. Many people say that. I heard it anyway. So here, this man again, being brought to his senses by insignificant people in his life. So let us not despise really the wisdom that can come from God through his own people, even if they are not great like Naaman himself. You see, so the great lesson for us there. So when we listen to people, we listen to them with ears that are really sensitive to God and with heart that are so humble. You see, I say to people, the great testimonies are not my own testimony, but the testimonies of other people I've seen and I heard. They are the greatest testimony because I see it with all my eyes, the work of God in those people, even children. So again, this is amazing. This little girl, really, and this young man, who in humility said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great things, would you not have done it? Because if that great thing, again, if that great thing would bring him healing, would you not do it? Maybe climb a tree, you see, or dig a hole that may require some strength and things like that. So, and then he was a sensible man, even though he was like acting against God. So how much more than when he tells you, wash and be cleansed. So he didn't demand something really that should hurt his pride. But again, this is how the world is. Things that should not hurt our pride, they hurt our pride. You see, if you go to a cafe shop in Egypt and you are served a coffee has to have a certain surface. You see, if it's not there, they will think this is an insult. And they can have really a big fight, just over that. Because it's like, and if also in those circles, if you call someone without their titles, you see? And so it's something amazing. When I was traveling and I was invited to preach at one church by the pastor, there was a young boy, he was really troublesome. He was, I think, a Jehovah's Witness. He came to the pastor straight away, and he called him David. You see, he's a younger guy, and David is just like a man in his 60s. He said, David, with no respect, and say, please say, Pastor David. Or something like that. And then he started real to argue with him, and he said, please, can you go? I'm not arguing. So just even like that. So now if you call me Lama, I will be very angry. You need to call me Reverend Lampolgag, maybe. So this is how it is. But this man, he was told this, so he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. So he came to the thing that he didn't want to do, he did it. For there is no other way for him to be healed but to surrender to God. There was no any other way. But to give up, I'm going to stop there, to give up on all his pride and to realize that he has to humble himself. Even though these insignificant two people played a great role in his testimony or in his healing. And so he went and he did that. That is an irony, isn't it? Dipping himself 7 times. The guy who refused to do it in the first place. Now he is just doing it against his will. But he needs a testimony. Because he is great. This sin will wear him out. You see, he will lose his position. So he's very pragmatic as well. But he does this. And so he went and he did this. I would want to watch this. This is a good movie. And this young man must be very happy, you see, to see this great man there doing that. And so he used his wisdom. And then he dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. Not as he desired, but as God wants. You see, when we do this, that is why this morning we heard that if 2 Chronicles, that if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and confess their sin, you see, I will hear from heaven. You see, that is what God is saying. So God really opposes the pride. You could see through the text how God really was not changing his mind in bringing man to his own real estate, isn't it? God will not change his mind. He will always be God. He will always be glorious. And we see this in the New Testament, how in the history was read to us. I know I went a lot. But even this man who saw the display of power and he thought like he can't even buy it, because that was what really this man Naaman did. He thought because he brought a lot of gifts and things like that, but he thought he could just really bribe this man of God. But actually, he didn't. So in the history that we had in the New Testament, Peter answered this man who wanted Simon, who saw that the Spirit was given at the laying of hand of the apostles' hands, so he wanted to buy that. And then he was rebuked for that, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. That was what really happened. This is chapter 8, verse 20. That is what happened with Naaman, isn't it? His thoughts, God will heal him. And this man also, he thought as the account of his thought also, God will grant him the Holy Spirit. So now this man, he was cleansed, and then he was clean like that of a young boy. But he was told in the first place, God is able to do this. Why you wouldn't want to do that? And then he made this big confession. He stood. Now you see the contrast. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him. Earlier he stood only before the door with no reference and no respect for the man of God. He was just standing there. But now he came and he stood before the man of God. See, how about that? Stood before the man of God and made this big declaration. Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. I think that is the place God wants to drive us to. To humble ourselves and see his hand so that we know that he is God. And he wants to do this seriously. But we need to humble ourselves like Naaman. That really is a through pain he had to be told by his servant to do something that he didn't like, and he did in the end. May the Lord grant us really humility to really seek his blessings in the right attitude so that we might really be blessed. But if we don't do it that way, it will be really sad. Let me pray.